Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Yu et al. Titled, Abnormal Sympathetic Neural Recruitment Patterns and Hemodynamic Responses to Cold Pressor Test in Women with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. This article published April 3rd, 2020. Joining me today are Associate Editor Donald O'Leary, Lead Author Chi Fu, and Expert Adam Case. Let's get started.
Thank you, Cara. Women develop post-traumatic stress disorder at twice the rate of men. Women with PTSD have a higher risk for developing hypertension and other cardiovascular disease. However, the mechanisms mediating this link between PTSD and cardiovascular disease are unclear. Exaggerated cardiovascular responses to sympathoexcitatory maneuvers, such as the cold pressor test, have been observed in individuals who have a higher likelihood of developing hypertension and cardiovascular disease. To date, only one study has investigated whether patients with PTSD have augmented responses to the cold pressor test. They found that the blood pressure and sympathetic responses were not augmented. However, mainly men were studied in that investigation. One previous study found that women with PTSD exhibit more pronounced hyperarousal symptoms in response to daily stress. Therefore, Yu and colleagues investigated whether women with PTSD show greater responses to the cold pressor test. They found that the rise in arterial diastolic blood pressure was indeed greater in the patient group. Traditional measurements of changes in muscle sympathetic nerve activity, such as burst frequency and burst incidence, were not different between the patients and the control group. The authors also employed a relatively new and novel analysis of sympathetic nerve activity, which quantified the number of action potentials and their discharge properties and recruitment strategies. They found that during the cold pressor test, women with PTSD did show a greater increase in muscle sympathetic nerve action potential frequency and total action potential clusters. The authors concluded that during the cold pressor test, women with PTSD showed increased firing of sympathetic nerve low-threshold axons, as well as recruitment of latent subpopulations of larger-sized axons that are otherwise silent at baseline. These findings provide insight into stress-induced autonomic circulatory mechanisms and dysfunction in high-risk women, and may aid in the development of treatments for PTSD symptom-related cardiovascular diseases. Chi, what do you feel are the most important aspects of your impressive study?
There are two important aspects of our study. Number one, we showed for the first time that women with PTSD had a greater pressor response during the cold pressor test, which is a sympathoexcitatory stimulation compared with healthy women. And number two, using the traditional method to quantify integrated nerve signals, we did not see any differences in MSNA responses to the cold pressor test between the groups. However, using a wavelet-based technique developed by Kevin Shoemaker's group to look at sympathetic action potential discharge patterns from raw signal, we did see a clear difference between the groups. Specifically, women with PTSD showed increased firing of low threshold axons as well as recruitment of latent subpopulation of larger sized axon that are otherwise silent at baseline. These results might provide some insight into the mechanism for the link between PTSD and cardiovascular disease.
Adam, would you like to comment?
Sure. Thanks, Donald. I want to applaud Chi for a very nice study that takes on an aspect of PTSD that not many investigators have examined. As Donald pointed out, women have PTSD at twice the rate of men, but the vast majority of studies in humans studying PTSD have primarily focused on men, often veterans of war. And so this study was very interesting in examining purely women and observing differences than the previous study that found no change in primarily men. But one aspect I found quite interesting was, even though your sample size was somewhat small, it was very racially diverse. And so I was curious if you noticed any differences between sympathetic responses and race that could be interesting or worth pursuing in a larger study.
Thank you, Eden. So in our study, the two groups were well matched for race, and therefore I think race did not contribute to the differences in sympathetic neural recruitment between PTSD patients and healthy controls. But we did notice that half of the patients were African-Americans. And as you pointed out, race could impact sympathetic neural cardiovascular responses. But unfortunately, in our study, the sample size was just too small to detect any race differences. This is a very important research question, and future research is clearly needed.
I think that's a fascinating question. I was reading a review where they described that the protective effect of gender, female gender, on cardiovascular reactivity is lessened in African-American individuals. Therefore, there may be distinct racial differences in these responses. I think that would be a fascinating subject for further investigation.
I totally agree. I think this is, again, very important research question and clearly need more research in the near future.
I recall an older study in which measured three classical sympathoexcitatory maneuvers, cold pressure test, isometric hand grip, and mental arithmetic under duress, measured a large number of individuals when they were young, and then followed the individuals who were the most responsive over time, and saw that there was a significant increase in the incidence of hypertension in the individuals who were hyper-responsive to these. Do you think this could play a role in future development of hypertension in females who have had PTSD, especially earlier in their lives?
I think so. We also found in previous studies, not women, but a mix of men and women among old adults, African-American people clearly had much higher pressure response, even though resting MSNA was not that high, but in response to physiological stimulations, clearly these African-American people, otherwise healthy, they show enhanced responses or augmented reactivity during physiological stimulations. And previous studies have demonstrated enhanced or augmented reactivity is linked with future development of hypertension and cardiovascular disease.
Adam, what is your feeling regarding this rather novel, at least to me, rather novel analytical approach that was used to dissect out the individual action potentials in the sympathetic neurogram?
Well, I think it's incredibly interesting, and I think it highlights a deficiency that we've had in the field. Most studies that have looked in diseases of mental health, especially when we think of PTSD, have used more non-specific methods of measuring sympathetic tone, such as urinary norepinephrine. And while it has its place, it's obviously not a direct measure of sympathetic nerve activity. And so I also believe this new method really highlights that there's some nuance in the sympathetic activity as well, that it may not just be as cut and dry and as simple as measuring just basic neural firing, but there might be some actual hallmarks or unique characteristics of the firing that are different in PTSD that could be predecessors or underlying causes to cardiovascular disease.
Chi, do you think that in the future studies should be analyzed a variety of different ways?
I think so. The traditional way of quantifying MSNA is to analyze rectifier integrated nerve signal. Some of the important information may be lost during signal processing. So if we could also, if possible, look at the signal before rectify or integration, that might be more informative, especially to determine action potential discharge pattern and recruitment approach that is regulated by the central nervous system, which I think will be more interesting.
In the traditional way of rectification and integration, you potentially lose some dynamics in the response. That is, If nerve activity suddenly goes to zero, the mean signal will decay over time depending upon the IRC circuitry that's utilized. With the advent of computer data acquisition, that becomes lessened, that we would rectify and integrate in 1 second bins to try to get better dynamics. But yours, I think, would take that even to a higher degree in looking at the changes in cluster formation that can occur over time, especially in sympathoexcitatory maneuvers. Would I be correct on that?
Yes. Well, this is relatively new method. I think from this approach, action potential approach, we could not just determine the burst frequency the traditional way. We also could look at different shape or amplitude of the action potential patterns during different conditions, which probably would provide more insightful information about how sympathetic neural control really is occurred through the sympathetic nervous system.
Where do you think this should go in the future with these patients?
That's a great question. Our study is observational, and future research is needed to determine the underlying mechanisms for abnormal sympathetic neural recruitment in women with PTSD. And also, we should determine whether similar results can be obtained during other physiological stimulations, for instance, mental stress, exercise, and also static stress in these patients. And it is also important to understand racial and sex differences in neural control in these patients. And most importantly, future work should understand the sympathetic neural mechanism by which PTSD increases cardiovascular risk, and also to set primary target for preventive options to be developed.
Adam, do you have further questions or comments that you would like to discuss?
Sure. You mentioned examining mechanisms, and some work from our lab and others have demonstrated a pretty tight link between sympathetic nervous activity and inflammation. And some preliminary work from our lab has actually shown that in a preclinical rodent model of PTSD, females actually have potentiated inflammation in that model. And so I was wondering if you were considering examining inflammation in these patients, or if that was a potential mechanism you'd considered.
Even though we haven't got chance to measure inflammatory biomarkers in our study, I do think inflammation is one important contributing factor to the development of cardiovascular disease in these patients. Indeed, results from studies from your lab and others have shown that PTSD may be associated with a pro-inflammatory activation of the immune system. It is also suggested that there's a bidirectional causal relationship between PTSD and inflammation.
I completely agree with the bidirectional aspect, that when we think about PTSD and inflammation, we often have to ask ourselves, chicken or the egg? And it's a big aspect of the field, knowing, do patients that go on to get PTSD have some underlying inflammation, or is it PTSD induces inflammation? And that question really is unknown, because unfortunately, by the time we diagnose someone with PTSD, they already have the disease. And so it's really difficult to kind of ascertain who's going to go on to get psychological trauma and who's going to go on to get PTSD. And I think you nailed it on the head, Chi, when you mentioned that longitudinal studies understanding how PTSD develops into cardiovascular disease and other potential comorbidities are highly warranted.
Agreed, 100%.
Do you think that individuals with PTSD who have undergone treatment have a reduced response, or is this permanent?
In our study, almost all the patients with PTSD, they were still on medications when they participated in the study. And we still saw a higher response in these patients. We also performed a small pilot study using non-medication treatment, using exercise training combined with healthy eating. We actually looked at their responses before and after 12 weeks of exercise training. And our preliminary data did show sympathetic reactivity was attenuated in these women.
Fascinating.
That is really interesting. And one of the most exciting parts of this manuscript was, to date, there really is no evidence that management of the behavioral manifestations of PTSD using antipsychotic medications like SSRIs or antidepressants have any impact on the physiological manifestations like sympathetic drive or risk of cardiovascular disease. And as Chi points out, I think this data fully supports that they don't, because all these patients were on some type of behavioral management and yet still showed this enhanced sympathetic tone. And we have seen similar results in our preclinical model where the behavioral changes in the rodents don't couple with the inflammatory or physiological parameters, which really adds a whole new dimension to this disease, showing it may not just be one-to-one link between behavior and physiology. It's fascinating.
I found this a fascinating study. I'm not an expert in this area, and I was talking to my wife about it, and she was like, this is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's timely because of this COVID pandemic. And I hate to say, we may see more patients coming out of this pandemic.
You are 100% right. Mm-hmm. I've been speaking with a lot of my colleagues in the mental health field, especially the clinical psychiatrists. They're already seeing it.
Yeah.
And the, you know, basic scientists like me also see this is going to be a huge thing. And mm-hmm. while it's obviously a major pandemic, I personally think it could be a potential opportunity. A lot of studies came out of 9/11. And the reason why was because you had a controlled population of people that were all exposed to the same trauma. And that doesn't always happen. And then these patients have actually been followed for 20 years. And I have a feeling you're going to see similar studies with this, with people that have either been exposed to COVID, had a loved one lost by COVID, you know, experienced some type of depression or mental health issue because of COVID, and they're going to be followed now for the rest of their life. And I think we're going to learn a lot from this, even though it's a horrible thing that's going on right now.
I agree. Adam, we should collaborate.
We can.
That will be another new study.
That was great, Adam. Chi, that was really first rate.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to participate.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening. Would you like to hear more? Visit the AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology homepage for our latest episodes.